Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's class. Yesterday, we talked about the human mind. I discussed with you how our long-term beliefs were formed, how we are programmed from childbirth, even if we are unaware of it. And also ended up sharing some tips on how you can reprogram yourself so that you hold the right kind of belief systems that would help you succeed in life. So the whole idea is to ensure that after we give you the right kind of information to go out there and land the job of your dream, your long-held belief systems will not be a roadblock, will not be some kind of impediment that will stop you from achieving your dreams career-wise. So today we are going to be looking at the history of the CV, right? So you may be wondering why it's important for us to talk about the history of the CV, because in this part of the world, history is something that is looked at as if it's a bad thing. People will tell you, forget the past, just let the past be in the past, move on with your life, and so on and so forth. But there are actually some importance that accrue to us from the study of CV. The first one is that it makes you understand the past, right? Yesterday, I shared with you the fact that it's very important for you to know the reason why you were doing what you're doing, because with this comes a higher level of motivation. Right? If you don't know why you're doing a certain thing, or your reason for doing that thing is shallow, you give up easily on that particular course of life, right? So it's very important that you understand where you're coming from. You need to understand why the CV has grown to what it is today, and why you are asked to include so-and-so things in your CV and not include others. It's very important we look at how the CV has evolved from the first time it was written to what it is today. And secondly, the study of history helps you to avoid the mistakes of the past. Yes? So when you study history, you see winners and you see losers. Those who acted in ways that were not beneficial to themselves and society, those who made very costly mistakes. When we study history, we get to see some of the courses of action that they took that landed them at the point they got themselves. And this will help us to avoid such loopholes as we are trying to make, you know, good of our own course in life. It helps us to avoid those loop marks so that we don't end up, you know, making those mistakes that landed people in trouble in the past. And then finally, the study of history enables you to predict the future and help you in creating it. And I think this last point is the most important one for us. That is why, in fact, we decided that it's of utmost importance that we let you know how the CV has evolved, because we want to be able to predict the next big thing. If you are in the cutting edge of a particular field, you know, you are more likely to succeed than every other person. There's a saying that the early bird catches the worm. So you want to be at the cutting edge. You want to be able to peek into the future and look and see where your industry, where standards are going, so that you'll be able to be, you know, one of the forerunners in advancing that particular space of life. So the first time a written CV was documented was in the year 1482. I know many, if not all of us, are familiar with the name Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, he was an Italian polymath that was credited with so many inventions. But I think the one of his works that is most popular, that most people know him for, is the painting called the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa has been described as one of the most important paintings of all history. Like, it's one of those paintings that if you don't know about them, then maybe you don't know anything about painting. Everybody knows the Mona Lisa. Everybody adores the Mona Lisa. And the Mona Lisa was created by Leonardo da Vinci. But one thing I think people don't really know about Leonardo da Vinci is that he's the first man in history, recorded history, to write a CV, right? So the story has it that the Duke of Milan was looking for, you know, military engineers to build military equipments and automobiles for the Roman Empire. So it was an open contract, so people were allowed to bid for it. A lot of military engineers went, a lot of craftsmen went to the Duke to talk to him and try to convince him that they were qualified for the job. But Leonardo da Vinci did something that was ingenious. He sat down with a piece of paper, recollected his thoughts, then he listed all that he had achieved in his course as a craftsman and as a designer, and he was able to outline points that he thinks will make him better at providing what the Duke was looking for. And at the end of the day, he ended up, you know, winning that particular contract. So that was the first time a CV or a resume was written in history. Then fast forward to the 1950s, CVs became a little bit required for you to get any standardized form of job. So people, employers were not asking for CVs. If you want to apply for a job, they'll ask you to present your CV. That was in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. But I have to say here that the content and the structure of the type of CVs that were used in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s were radically different from what we have today. Then you were required to provide things like even your height, your weight, your skin color, and so on and so forth to be considered for a position. But these are details that are no longer needed in the world of writing CVs today. Another important milestone in the history of the CV occurred in the year 1984. That was the first time a formal guide on how to write a CV was published. So what this did was it provided some form of standardization as regards what a CV should look like. So people could pick up the book and read and say, okay, this is how my CV should be. This is what I should do and what I should present in my CV. It made it a little bit more standardized. Then the internet came into existence in the year 1994. And with that, recruiters moved online. Before then, it was just newspapers, billboards, and so on and so forth that were used for job advertisements. But now the internet made it possible that job applications, job listings could now be posted electronically. So you could apply for a job using email or sending a fax and so on and so forth. So in 2003, LinkedIn was another game changer. LinkedIn launched what we can refer to as an electronic CV system. So whereby you can go in online, create your CV, and you don't need to put it on paper, you just put it online. And prospective employers could just come around to your page, look at your CV. If they are interested, then they can contact you and the process ensues from there. And another important milestone happened in 2007 when YouTube and other video sites now made it possible for people to create, you know, video CVs. I know in this part of the world, not many people are familiar with video CVs. But I think it's something you need to know about, because we're trying to make you into global players, such that you can be in Nigeria and apply to a job anywhere in the world and you'll be able to compete favorably. In fact, some multinational companies in the country have already started using video CVs. The last position I went for, the one I currently hold, one of the recruitment processes that we underwent was a video CV was required. What is video CV entails? It's all about, you record yourself with a camera, you tell the employer what you're going to offer. So instead of just presenting yourself on paper, yes, they've seen you on paper, but they also want to see you, you know, on video, talk to them about who you are and what you're bringing to the organization. And you need some video editing skills as well to be able to stand out and catch their eye. So that is basically where we are today, although there have been a lot of proliferation of multimedia CVs, especially for those who are in the design field, where you need to add a lot of designs and animations to your CV on paper, right? But we are trying to peek into the future, and we are predicting that social media will be the in thing, right? In fact, already some organizations have started doing background checks for people who apply to work with them. You know, you send in your application and they go online to try to look at the kind of person you are, the kind of persona that you're living online. So we advise our students to be mindful of what they post online. The internet is something that is not going anywhere soon. And once you leave something on the internet, even if you delete a post, right, believe me, it has not gone away. It can easily be fished up anytime in the future. So you need to be very careful as regards what you leave online so that it doesn't cost you a job, a good job in the future. And we are predicting that in this new era of artificial intelligence, it will get to a time whereby employers, when they want to ask for applications, they don't need you to send them anything. If they have a job opening, they just go online. They can deploy their artificial intelligence tools. They can deploy bots to crowd the internet and look for people who exhibit the kind of behavior that they are looking for, people who had the right kind of qualifications, and they have evidence to back it up online, and they can just directly go to those individuals and, you know, contact them. So you need to make your online presence solid. You need to make your online presence targeted. You need to have a strategy of the kind of person you want to portray yourself as online. Don't just post anything you see. Don't just share anything you see. Make sure that you present yourself as a professional when it comes to your social media accounts and so on and so forth. So if you look at slide 4, the picture on the left is actually the CV, the exact CV that Leonardo da Vinci penned down that he gave to the Duke of Milan. And what you have on your right is a gentleman that was recording a video CV. So from the CV of Leonardo da Vinci to a video CV, you can see how far the CV has come in the space of a few hundred years, right? We have really advanced in the way CVs are crafted and presented. And this gives you the appreciation of what the standards are, what you need to do at this particular point in time, and what the future holds. So that is the discussion we have for you today. It's something we feel will help you to look into the future and predict where your particular industry is going and try to be at the forefront. And usually when we give this class, we do a little bit of exercise. We tell you to, in your own way, describe what you think the future of CV would hold. We've already given you our own opinion. We might be right, we might be wrong, only the future will tell. So in your own way, the way you've seen how the world of recruitment is going, tell us in the comment section, tell us in the chat section what you think CVs of the future will look like. And as usual, for those of you who have not liked our page on Facebook, please go to www.facebook.com/careerecalconsult so that you can like us, because we'll be putting out a whole lot of useful information on that page so that you don't get left out. Invite your friends and relatives, people you feel will benefit from this course. We're offering it for free, so they don't have anything to lose. You can ask for the course link and then you add them. You send it to them to join. And then our website is also there to provide you with a whole lot of information as regards how you can go forward in advancing your career. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you guys tomorrow. If you have any questions, if you have any contributions, observations, please let's have them in the discussion that will come after this session. Enjoy the rest of your day.